Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger may be the world's most durable piñata. A Republican and the state's elections chief, he oversaw the 2020 general election and the U.S. Senate runoffs. And when he bucked the Donald Trump narrative that Georgia's election was rigged, he basically handed a stick to every Trump loyalist in the state. Raffensperger joined Savannah Morning News reporter Will Peebles for an interview on Monday, and you'll hear that sound on today's Commute podcast presented by National Office Systems. Welcome to The Commute this Tuesday, June the 15th of 2021. I'm Adam Van Brimmer, opinion editor and columnist at the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com. I'm fresh off of a vacation week, and I'm happy to be back behind the mic. My thanks to my colleagues, Will Peebles and Zach Dennis, for filling in for me last week. Speaking of Peebles, he'll handle the main interview today. He spent time with Georgia's Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger on Monday and talked about the integrity of Georgia's election, our new voting machines, and much more. Also on today's episode, an excerpt from our recent Difference Makers podcast interview with Chatham Emergency Management Agency's Chelsea Sawyer on hurricane awareness and preparedness. With two storms brewing out there right now, the topic is timely. First, though, I need to plug The Commute's presenting sponsor, National Office Systems. Their name says it all. They are the source for office design and outfitting services in Savannah. We at the Savannah Morning News are proud to call ourselves clients, as are hundreds of other businesses in the Savannah area. National Office Systems has been serving this community for more than 30 years and works with the best suppliers in the business. From Savannah's own Dirt Modular Interiors, which manufactures configurable office environments, to office furniture superpower Herman Miller. Learn more by visiting natoffsys.com. That's N-A-T-O-F-F-S-Y-S.com. Now, here's reporter Will Peebles' interview with Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger.
Anything to catch up on.
We had a safe and secure election when we counted the ballots. We counted them three times. Many people don't realize that we did a 100% hand recount that verified the results in the election. And then we ran those same ballots through, you know, as part of the scanning process when the losing candidate could ask for a recount. So those ballots have been counted three times. And all three results came up with virtually the same result. And that was that, you know, Vice President Biden carried the state of Georgia in 2020.
I think a lot of people sometimes are having a little bit of trouble with how you were painted, not painted, but how you were portrayed as kind of somebody who stood up for the integrity of the vote. And now you're standing up for this bill that a lot of people think is not about election integrity. How do those two things mix?
Well, what people need to be reminded of is when I ran in 2018, what I said is we need to move away from signature match on the absentee ballots and we need to go to driver's license number. SB 202 is going to move away from signature match, go to driver's license number. One is subjective, one is objective. Objectivity is better, and driver's license is photo ID based, and also we're going to ask you for your birth date, day, month, year. So those are unique identifiers. What that does is, first of all, eliminates the chance that you have fraud. That's a good thing. But also it gives people that aren't voting absentee, or if they are voting absentee, they know that everyone had a driver's license number or some secure way of being identified that'll help restore confidence. So we've been taking a shot at elections since 2018, 2016. When President Trump won in 2016, the Democrats said, oh, there was Russian collusion. So they tried to denigrate his victory then. In 2018, Stacey Abrams did not concede in her non-concession speech. And she had lost by over 50,000 votes. And she said that was due to voter suppression. So we've been fighting this on both sides of the aisle. The whole, you know, point of our office this year will be to help restore voter confidence in the accuracy of the results. People need to understand that your election directors are working hard to do the work of making sure we have safe, secure, and accurate elections. We have guardrails in place. They're appropriate guardrails. We've actually encouraged and allow now an additional day of early voting. So we have 17 days of early voting, up from 16 that are mandatory. And then any county that wants to can have Sunday voting for two Sundays. So that's 19 days. That puts us at the top of all the other national comparisons. So we've actually done that. We've also improved the runoff period. We've taken it from 9 weeks down to 4 weeks. Now the 4 weeks does stress out the counties a little bit, but we get that over quicker. We don't have federal runoffs at one level at 9 weeks and state runoffs at 4 weeks. So it's a uniform system, and I think that's a good process. good improvement.
Can you talk a little bit about the continued threats against your family and other people?
Well, it's really is appalling when you think that election people, poll workers, election directors have been threatened. And this has happened in both red counties and blue counties. People have been followed home during the election. People have to understand that these poll workers are people that live in your community. They're people that your kids are on the same, you know, ball team, you know, same soccer field. You're seeing those, they're at church, Kiwanis, you know, Rotary, wherever that organization, you're seeing them at the grocery store. They're just people that have volunteered to do the hard work of putting in a 16-hour day to making sure when you show up to vote, there's someone on the other side of the table so that there is, you can actually vote. And poll working is an incredibly tedious and tough job. And so we just need to recognize that those are people just like us.
Have the death threats, recent death threats against your wife made you rethink whether you want to run for election again?
We've already talked about that as a family, and we understand that there's always these elements out here. What is really discouraging, and we need to really hold our sides accountable. In other words, if people are coming from the far right side, people that are on the right side of the aisle, they should be holding those folks accountable. And if they're coming from the far left, then if you're on the left side, you need to be holding those folks accountable. Because when I start pointing fingers crossways at people on the left because I'm on the right, it's not going to carry the same weight. And so I think that we, our politicians, need to have that personal integrity to hold their side accountable. Clean up your backyard. We need to clean up our backyard. And then we can talk together about what we need to make sure is that we have honest elections. They're safe. They're secure. And we understand that elections are going to be contentious. They're political situations, and they always have been. But there needs to be a certain standard of behavior that we expect from everyone.
Gotcha. So at the start of 2020, you started bringing around the new Dominion machines. You took them on tour. You brought them to Savannah. I think that was actually the last time that I saw you. Kind of a speculative question here. What would the 2020 election and the audits that followed look like had we still been on those old machines?
There would have been virtually with the old machines, meaningless from most voter standpoint, because you would have said, we've had the election with the old DRE machines. Well, let's do a recount. Boom, you press the button. The computer's going to give you the same answer. Having that paper ballot answered questions. It proved that, first of all, the machines were accurate. First of all, the count was accurate of the ballots, but also the machines weren't flipping votes. Because as soon as you looked at the human readable text, did you vote for Trump, Biden, then you knew it was accurate.
And kind of while we're on the audit thing, the forensic audit in Arizona is getting a lot of attention. It's kind of become a place for Republican leadership across the country to go out to and visit and talk about the process of it. Would you be opposed to seeing something like that in Georgia? I know the Fulton's kind of talking about it with the private thing, but that's on hold for right now. Do you think that a forensic audit in Georgia would show anything that we haven't seen already?
No, I don't believe it'll show anything. We've already done a forensic audit of the machines, so that those machines, the accuracy of the machines have been certified. We did 100% hand recount. But if someone was looked at the fibers of the paper, there's litigation in Fulton County, then we said if it can help restore voter confidence, because at the end of the day, I don't believe that the results will change. There's just one of those issues that sometimes, you know, people say, why are you being so open to that idea? Because I understand that voter confidence is very important. It's taking shots from both sides of the aisle. We want people to have confidence that when they go out to vote, their vote will count.
But really, the confidence this time around was so over, or the lack of confidence, I would say we'd have to agree, was so overwhelming compared to any other election.
It has been blown out of proportion.
The Republican leadership, the reason we had such a lack of confidence is no one would say what the president is saying is a lie. And we still have that. How can we ever get to a point where people have confidence if people will not keep saying he's lying?
Well, that's why we continue to produce information, you know, bit by bit. And we understand that, you know, our Twitter account is much smaller than everyone else's Twitter account. But we also understand in social media that you can say whatever you want. That's why there's a lot of litigation that's going on. And the nice thing about litigation, I'm not a fan of litigation per se, but then you actually have to produce and prove what you say. And when you start having to produce documents, and what you're really seeing is already seeing major backtracking about some of these national figures who are saying things in the defamation lawsuit are now trying to pull that back and pull that off the table.
Do Do you have any concerns about the Justice Department announcement?
Can I get in? Yeah. Sorry,
We've got time for just one.
Okay, cool. You talked about Fulton County in May, I think with Albany Herald, I want to say they quoted on it. That's where I read it. And you said, quote, Fulton County has a longstanding history of election mismanagement that has understandably weakened voters' faith in its system. Does that put them into, in your approximation, under 202, would that make them a potential target for the state board to appoint a new supervisor in Fulton? And could that happen before 2022?
It probably wouldn't happen before 2022 just because I know these things take time. Mm-hmm. The purpose of SB 202 is no one wants to take over a county election board. But when you have a situation that's gone on for 25 years, at some point, people say, enough is enough. The rest of the state's getting frustrated, but so are Fulton County residents. They want the results, they want them accurate, they want them on time. And so that would is something that the state election board would consider, perhaps, doing an investigation. It'll be a thorough investigation, bipartisan, nonpartisan. You want to make sure you do it with a methodical process. And if you really look at the structure of SB 202, I think that's what you'll find. It supports a very methodical, careful, measured response.
Right, I've read it. So the optics of that is a Republican-controlled state election board essentially would be taking over the largest Democratic stronghold in the country.
The new chairman of the board will be a nonpartisan,
sure.
A person who has not, given money to either, political party. So they truly are what you call a nonpartisan, person.
Can you just tell me quickly, why do you want this job again? You've been beaten up. Why do you want to do this?
At the end of the day, we still have much more to do. One of our neglected areas has been professional licensing. Gabe Sterling, our chief operating officer, spent 2 to 3 days a week really working on that. We need to update the system so we can improve the response times that we get back to license holders. Corporations is running like a Swiss timepiece. It's running great. And there's a couple other areas. But when you spend all your focus on elections, it really just put us a year behind on that. So that's one area that we'll be focusing on.
Good work by Will right there. Before we turn our focus to hurricane season, a small word about a big sale. Right now you can get 6 months access to SavannahNow.com, the online publication of the Savannah Morning News, for just $6. I'm no mathematician, but that works out to $1 a month. Even a week away didn't corrupt my brain enough that I can't do that math. Our website is the best place to keep up with community news, sports, and opinion makers. Go to SavannahNow.com/subscribe now to get full access. We'll dedicate the balance of today's podcast to a conversation with SEMA's Chelsea Sawyer. She's a local hurricane education expert, and if you've checked your calendar lately, you know we are into storm season. Chelsea is our most recent guest on the Difference Makers podcast, and the following segment is from that interview. You can hear more from her by thumbing up the full Difference Makers podcast. Just search Savannah Difference Makers on your favorite podcast app. Without further preamble, here's Chelsea. So another part of staying informed is once the storm is coming, people want to stay updated. And I know at the SEMA.org, you publish the NOAA updates, and what's every 5 hours? Is it update 6 hours?
Roughly, it's every 5 hours. Okay. So full forecast come out 5 and 11, intermediary come out 8 and 2, and that's constantly 24/7 when there's a storm heading this way. We do on our website, ChathamEmergency.org, we're going to send out all of those updates, but we're going to make it a localized version. And that's one of the things that I want to talk about, is this idea that people go and find this information online and they pull up this cone of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And the only thing they're looking for is Chatham County in this cone? You guys, let me explain this cone just briefly. It's going to be a little challenging to do on a podcast because usually I'll point to the whole graph for you to see. But the cone is only meant to depict where the eye of the storm might go. And the size of the cone is based on the last 5 years of statistical data from the National Hurricane Center. The size of the cone is not the area that's going to be impacted.
Okay.
That it's saying that anywhere in that entire cone is where the eye of the storm might go. And 2/3 of the time, it's in there. 1/3 of the time, it's not.
Right.
It could be completely out in the ocean, or it could be on a completely different side of land. Mm-hmm. So impacts will more than likely extend outside of that cone because it's only where the eye of the storm might go. So people have to understand that just because the cone is slightly outside of Chatham County or we're right on the cusp of it, people should not make evacuation decisions or any type of determination based on where that cone is. Right. The cone is actually meant to assist emergency managers in understanding where the largest impact may go. It's a tool in our toolkit, but so many people choose to use it as something else, and they choose to see it as this all-knowing arch of right. where the storm is going to be headed, and that's not the case. But if you don't post that, then SEMA gets really nasty comments and right. like, why aren't you posting the cone?
Right.
Because people have this expectation that's the answer. So we'll post the cone, but we're also going to tell you the watches and warnings that are in effect for our area, the impacts that may be happening in our area. So what are we going to see here? Sometimes it's not exactly what you expected. Sometimes it can be better, and sometimes it might be a little bit worse. Because people, if we're outside of that cone, people are like, oh, it's not even coming near us. And in fact, it could be. We may not just be seeing the eye of the storm.
And remind me, the cone is, it's a 3-day out or a 5-day out?
So there's typically two parts on it. There's a 3-day out piece, and then they extend it. So there's like a more hashed out area that's like five. Yeah, exactly. So it bulbs out, and that's the 5-day forecast.
Right. And as a general rule of thumb, 24 to 36 hours, it's relatively certain. But once you get past that and it starts to really broaden out, that's I'd almost like just cut it off right there at 36 hours
nice?
Or whatever, right?
But. It would be nice if they just cut it off because they really don't know. After you, even sometimes with tropical systems, 12 to 15 hours out, they're still uncertain because there's so many different things that are happening. So if you talk to a meteorologist about what's going on with this storm, you're going to get so many different opinions,
okay.
which is why... You know, it's so challenging. That's why you see so many different people that are some of them are meteorologists, you know, are trained in this, have such varying opinions on what the storm is going to do. But what we have to do is the National Hurricane Center is the hurricane experts for the entire country, honestly, the world. And they are the experts. They see the big picture. They're looking at all of these different, what we call them spaghetti models,
mm-hmm.
what everybody else plots, what they think this storm's going to do. They compile all of them together and they make the National Hurricane Center's forecast.
Mm-hmm.
And that, the random spaghetti model that you see go in the opposite direction, that's included in the National Hurricane Center's model, but they're giving you a consensus of all of those,
right.
not these outliers that come out.
Right. And I think that's the real trick with evacuation is that there's such the window of we know what's going to happen is so short that you can't wait to call in. I guess in a perfect world, if everybody was ready to go and could do it in an orderly fashion, you could solve a lot of problems.
Yeah.
But you can't do that. So that's why
right.
you have to call evacuations 48 plus hours out, and
it takes 36 hours and this is an old evacuation, a hurricane evacuation study. We're actually getting a new one that should be complete hopefully within the next couple of months, but it says it takes 36 hours for us to evacuate Chatham County, and we have to have everyone evacuated and everything complete before the onset of tropical storm force winds.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that the onset of tropical storm force winds is maybe 72 hours out.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't give us a whole lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
If it takes 36 hours to get everybody out of town, because you can't just have, most cases, you can't just have one day of the evacuation assembly area because
mm-hmm.
people need time to be able to prepare. They need to understand and be able to move quickly, but sometimes that's a challenge. You know, it takes a lot to shut down the ports. It takes
right.
a lot to shut down different organizations and businesses within our community.
Mm.
So 36 hours is a really short time span when you think of the grand scheme of things. But that's a lot of time when that storm can weeble and wobble
right.
a lot.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Commute and to our presenting sponsor, National Office Systems. Please support them as they support this podcast. If you enjoyed this episode of The Commute and you want to hear more, download archived episodes on your podcast app by searching The Commute with At Savannah Opinion. That'll take you right to me. The Commute returns on Thursday. Thank you again for listening.